It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
On to another edition of The God Journey.
We're back.
Where are we going?
Well, we're back from last week. Now we're here again.
Okay. But you're not back yet.
You haven't left yet. I'm leaving next 2 days.
We're podcasting in the future, aren't we?
Well, we've got this whole string of podcasts going. We've got two that we've done that no one have heard yet, including one of our most controversial, perhaps. So maybe we don't even have a podcast when we get back.
Oh, yeah, we do. The effeminacy of religion can make us famous.
Okay.
Or me.
Infamous, perhaps.
Infamous, yeah.
Infamous, maybe.
I think the Australians are going to think I'm a hero again.
So anyway, these get to be a little less interactive when we kind of ring them up ahead.
There's always fun things to bring up. Bunch of people were eating pie.
Yeah, I think that was because we got an apology over the whole
giggling
girls at the slumber party thing.
Yeah, they hadn't even heard us really giggle yet.
No, they haven't even heard the bad one. I hope Dave doesn't send us any art with that one.
I don't understand. Penance and pie, that doesn't really sound too bad.
No, you know what? When you get outside the box, then you're even going to make bad things fun things. So,
okay.
Yeah, instead of penance being like, you know, carrying...
Ask me another slice of penance.
Yeah, carrying a corpse up a rock wall. It's
that's
some
a
cake
depressing.
Or pie or something. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, penance used to be tough.
Today's pretty easy. It's
now
pie.
Now the big question is, a la mode or regular?
and
the other wonderful thing is you've got all kinds of people volunteering.
To do extra penance.
Do penance with you.
Oh, that's nice. So no one's alone.
Except I wouldn't do it for pie. I got to tell you, I'm not a pie fan.
You're not a pie guy.
Cake is my deal.
Chocolate. I would have thought you'd been a pie guy.
Nah.
I don't know why.
It's all that flaky, crusty, yucky stuff, man. I like cool, smooth, cold chocolate. So chocolate.
Well said with attitude.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that's been kind of fun.
So what you been up to?
Oh, well, actually, we've been killing bees around here.
Killing bees?
Yeah.
What are you killing bees for?
Because they're nasty little creatures.
Oh, yes, they are.
We had a hive of killer bees move in our roof.
A hive?
A hive a couple weeks ago. And
in your house?
In the top of the second floor, coming in the tiles up there. Yeah.
Were I supposed to put in ceiling fans?
Yeah, we were hoping to get your work there.
I'm not doing
but
it.
But you didn't, so we had to deal with the bees.
Okay.
What a bummer that was.
Let me know when you're done.
It took those guys three times out here to get that hive. Boy, I tell you, that was just tough. They'd spray all over the thing and they'd be there the next day. And he said, the guy said, these are definitely the Africanized killer bee version. And I could tell that when he was standing at my screen door with about 180 bees attached to his head.
I hope he had his suit on.
He had his suit on, but he's kind of like, these are fairly aggressive. I've noticed that. And he was quite a ways from the hive at the moment. And he was just saying, he asked me if I'd open the door for him. No, you're on your own, guy. Sorry, I'm paying you the big bucks to die out there with the bees. Anyway, it took them three times. They're finally gone. And then we had more bees this weekend. These were the honeybee variety. So then we had to have another guy back. So I guess this is a bee season here in Moore Park.
Ooh, well, welcome to Moore Park. I'm glad I live in Newbury Park.
Oh, thanks. Well, Sarah moved me here. I like the colder weather down in Oxnard, but now we're up here in the heat and the bees. And
that's great.
But Sarah's happy. So if Sarah's happy,
then Wayne's happy.
We're all happy.
I understand.
Yeah.
Marital bliss.
Well, you never guess who I talked to today.
I won't. Who?
Oh, come on. Give it a shot.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Got a call from some guy, and he wanted to interview me about house church stuff, and said he was with Focus on the Family. But when I tried to find him on the website, he wasn't there. And it wasn't you.
It wasn't James Dawson. Was it me acting like James Dawson?
No, it wasn't Mr. Duffin. It was Steve somebody, and he gave me the website so fast, I tried to look it up later, couldn't find it. So I don't know what it was about, but they want to talk about house church, and they thought I was one of the leaders of the house church movement.
Well, that's funny.
I think
that's funny.
I don't know how people get this impression. Given all the things I've said about it, you know, it's kind of crazy. I even got caught last weekend when we were in Pennsylvania. We were talking about some of the trips I like to take, particularly hanging out with people who are right at the point of having been brutalized by religion and kind of waking up to it. And I said, sometimes even not even sure if they're going to continue with God, I said, or even worse, if they want to start a house church. And some guy caught me and said, well, what was that crack about house church? And I say, well, you know what? If God's really waking you up to the freedom from religion, just don't go start another one in your home, because we've talked about that before. If you're going to have
starting a religion in your home,
yeah. If you're going to have a religion, you definitely want it down the street in Rome, somewhere
yeah, the bigger,
along
the
ways.
Better.
Yeah, further
get
away
all
the
them
better.
Pontiffs and all those other stuff.
Now, see, I'm all for people hanging out in homes, loving Jesus together. Where house church works, where it's people just loving Jesus together and hanging around in homes.
He's not a model guy.
Great stuff, but man, once we start implementing somebody's idea of what church is, we've long since ceased to follow the master. Wow, I can't believe that all came out.
Wow.
But anyway, so I don't know what's going to come of that, and I don't even know where the interview is going to run, but it was kind of wild.
Well, say hi to James Dobson.
Next time I talk to him, I'll pass along your
greeting. Let's see if he really sounds like me.
Yeah, well,
I sound like him, however it works.
I still don't get that. I think people listen to this podcast very late at night. And so
they do.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it seems like people have really enjoyed the walking with the man Christ Jesus one, and it's renewed some
things
in their heart.
They're asking for more.
Yeah, they are asking for more. Gosh, and that was a long one, too. Remember, we had the short one. It was too short,
yeah,
and then we did a long
never
one.
Never going to be called short again.
No one said it was too long, so well, somebody's asking for more. So, I mean, obviously, what we want to do more than anything is encourage people to live in and love Jesus
relationship.
And make that practical. Some questions come about Scripture, and I think down the road we probably will do a podcast on the Bible and how it fits into our lives and how to read
it
in a way that makes sense. It's a good book.
It's a good book.
But before we get to that,
it's been a bestseller for a long time.
But before we get to that, there's been one kind of thing on our podcast forum about favorite books. And people have said, man, why don't we talk about books, maybe books that have influenced your lives. And so people have been sharing some of the books that have touched them. So Brad,
little summer reading, huh?
Other than the Bible, we'll talk about that later. Obviously, that's the best book of them all. But what are some of the books that have really influenced you on this journey, Brad?
My favorite one is The Shack. It's not published
yet.
Oh,
shoot. I thought we had an agreement.
No. It's my favorite book out there. And I have it. And it's a copy. And we spent 3 weeks helping to rewrite that thing. And
neener, yeah, to those of you
it
who
is incredible. It is a page turner.
Stop it.
It's a barn burner. It's soon
stop
to be an awesome
it
film.
Don't worry. I'm going to cut that out. No one will even know you
oh,
said it.
Oh, stop that. You've got to leave that in. It's a great book.
I'm an editor.
All right. I'll
get serious.
I'll throw one back to you. I like Wayne Jacobson. It's
okay.
One of my favorite authors.
Oh, okay. That's $50
no.
I owe you.
Okay. He Loves Me has got to be up there. I got to tell you, I used to buy those by the case.
Really? I haven't read that book yet.
No, it's a good one. I know the guy. I know the author. He's got some funky ideas, but he's
dumb,
a pretty good guy.
Dumb title, though.
It is awesome in terms. It's not a dumb title. Dumb cover, but not a dumb title.
A little effeminate, that cover.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think the publisher who did that said 85% of book buyers are women, and that's who we were looking for.
There you go.
So I'm glad you didn't put Jane Jacobson on the cover.
Hey, that book is a keeper, because I think when you bring a whole new, refreshed look at the cross, that is a great, great understanding to
unveil. Okay, I'll have to give it a look at sometime. Sounds pretty good.
It's a good one.
Okay, good.
You know one of my absolute favorite books? And I don't even know if it's in print. I imagine it is. But Gene Edwards wrote a book called The Divine Romance. And I got to tell you, I think that one really did change my life. Because somehow God got through to me in this whole love affair dynamic of his pursuit of us. And that took a lot of the performance dynamic out of my trying to get to him, which was never really working all that well anyways. And when I began to realize just how absolutely head over heels in love with us and why God created in the first place and some of that. And I just think that book was a real impacting book. And I remember just going like, wow. I've gone to church all my life, but no one's ever talked to me about this love romance in the heart of God that God has towards us, his creation. And that just exploded. I mean, when I went after that and I began to just be hungry for that kind of stuff. Another book, Destined for the Throne by Paul Bilheimer.
Wow, that's an oldie.
That's an oldie.
Man,
but that's
a goodie.
I didn't
even think you were born back then.
No, I wasn't born back then. I'm sure.
Man.
But I do remember the day I found that book and just bringing out the whole understanding of the bride of Christ and seeing this life as a little bit of training for our ultimate sense of calling, that, you know, this is just the womb of what we're fully going to experience. And just that, too. I don't know that I would agree with every last little thing that's in there, but that's one that I've recommended for years as a very helpful, impacting book.
Yeah, good. Going back to Gene Edwards, well, that's he's a bit of an enigma, I guess.
He's written some real great stuff.
He's written some.
And then I don't know where he's at today.
Every time I mention him on the website or a book or something, I get people write me just, well, can you mention him, all this stuff. And, I, you know, some of his ways of trying to create church in the 21st century, I mean, I just don't think he gets it yet, that it's just another system that you're trying to fabricate. But I'll say this. I think Gene's written some of the best stuff that's been written about thinking outside the box. I think Tale of Three Kings is probably one of the best five best Christian books in history. I mean, I think it's that good.
Yeah.
And I think it challenges our way of thinking about body life, and particularly when we feel betrayed or broken and whether we retaliate or not. And Sarah and I read that book on a plane to Ohio shortly after our debacle. I'd recommended the books for years and had never read it. I'd read How to Meet and some of the other one, Revolution, that were really confirming in the sense that God's bigger than this little box we've called church and put him in. So I think some of those things are fabulous. How he lives it out, I mean, scary stuff. So we don't have to get into that.
I don't know him personally. I have benefited greatly by a lot of what he's written. I remember a book that he wrote, Prisoner in the Third Cell.
Yep.
And I think there are tear stains on my copy of that book, and I have passed that along to hundreds of other people.
You're kind of a baby when you read that, huh?
No. I think for anyone who's ever gone through just that sense of disillusionment of, you know, I'm doing all the right things, I'm sincerely following God, and it just somehow, why isn't he just blessing my socks off? And just to work through the whole dynamic of, you know, how God allows different things to come into people's lives. That's a compelling book. For anyone who's going through difficulty, that one will bless you.
Oh, that's neat. Any historical books other than contemporary guys, anything from way back?
You know, the whole guy, The Dark Night of the Soul.
Who's that?
The guy that wrote Dark Night of the Soul.
Oh, okay. You don't have a good guy.
I forget. I just remember.
Never a fan of The Dark Night of the Soul myself.
But you're not?
No.
I valued that.
That's neat.
I guess I've had a few dark nights.
I don't like the way that all sets up. Every time I hear it from people, it's kind of like God withdraws his presence from us to, you know, make us tough or something.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that, but I think,
I mean, there are definitely dark times where you feel like he's a million miles away, and how do we get through those times? But I think that has more to do with God stretching us in growth than it does, I'll hide from you to make sure you're tough.
But I just think there's some real stuff, because I know people go through just real disillusionment of, this God is not like they have had preached or just presumed. And I think wrestling through to who he really is and how that really works, that is just, at least I got it at a helpful moment.
That's neat. And back then, too, Brother Lawrence, I don't know if you read Practicing the Presence of God, Madame Guyon. I mean, there's some of that mystical stuff, which really takes you back away from the strictures of religion, back to knowing God as a reality. I think those are very encouraging to me.
A lot of stuff by Watchman Nee.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I haven't read a lot of it, but what I have read, I've really been blessed
by. I've always found it challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of cuts right through the fluff, and I've sort of felt, ooh, okay.
Yep.
Christianity for real people.
I think biographies have really been helpful to me, too. I've read some great ones on Wesley, on Luther, on Finney. And I tell you what, just seeing how, and they ended up, you know, in things that I wouldn't necessarily be all excited about, but people had the courage of their convictions and follow through at great risk and great cost. I find those to be incredibly courageous. Fox's Book of Martyrs, read that in a Bible study group one time, and we were, not a Bible study, book study group, and we talked through that thing, and it was amazing just seeing the kind of courage that our forebearers of the faith, our brothers and sisters ahead of us, have lived out. And I've always been very, very stimulated by those stories and some of the mission stories that people out in the mission field, and good stuff. Peace Child, I think, by Richardson, and Praying Hyde, and some of those old ones are just wonderful ways to be encouraged, I think, in what it means to know God and kind of walk against the grain.
That's all good.
A little bit.
You turned me on to, what was it, Michael Iaconelli?
Yeah.
That book, Dangerous Wonder.
Yeah.
And I think he had another one called Messy Spirituality.
He had a bunch of them, but...
Those, you know, I know that Dangerous Wonder came at just a really fantastic time because I think it brought a sense of adventure back into what it means to follow Jesus. Especially, I think, folks who are coming out of the whole, I am exhausted from the whole performance dynamic.
Yep.
And plus, it's not turning out the way I thought anyways.
Yep.
And to bring it back to that place of sort of reckless abandon, of that dangerous sense of what it really is to follow Christ, it just doesn't end up being so, you know, neat and tidy as a lot of people would love to think it is. And that book was freeing. I realized it's like, you know what? Yeah. This thing is not exactly safe, even though Jesus is a great guy to hang out with, safe place to be.
Yeah, I've said about Dangerous Wonder, it's the one book I've read that I wish I had written. I love the whole idea of a childlikeness toward God and recapturing that childlikeness in the simplicity of life. And Mike Iaconelli passed away a couple years ago in some kind of stroke or heart attack or something while he was driving a car. But he used to hang out with a group up in Northern California. He said he was the pastor of a church for people who didn't want to go to church. And they seemed to break all the rules and just had a ball learning to love God together. So, yeah, Dangerous Wonder is one of my favorite. He's a great storyteller. He's got some great stories to tell, too. And there's a story in Messy Spirituality about how God makes himself known in people that I think is, I read it most places I go, because I think it's just one of the most incredible stories about how God can even use reluctant people who really don't even want to be used in a certain way. But if they keep responding to God, he changes something in them. And so Iaconelli has been a favorite of mine. I've really enjoyed him.
Yeah, I certainly just relish that book.
Another favorite of mine is Dallas Willard. And I know he's a bit heady for some people. I gave my dad a copy of Divine Conspiracy because I thought it was the top book written in our generation, I think, to really capture what's wrong with spirituality and our sin management systems and religion and how it is that we get off of that and live in it. His three chapters on the Sermon on the Mount, I think, are the most brilliant exegesis of the Sermon on the Mount I've ever read. He just flips the whole thing on its ear and makes it mean almost exactly the opposite of what we've been taught it means. And so I have really enjoyed him. I know he still finds his answers back in the system. He's still trying to say, yeah, the system's broken, it's producing the wrong thing, but we can fix it. And his answers seem to always come back there. But before he gets to that point, just the stuff he deals with about how we know God and what Scripture really says about knowing him, I'm so in sync with what I've read of him that I was looking at Dangerous Wonder the other day thinking, hey, I might even take that on vacation again just to give it another read.
That's a good one.
So
I know this wasn't your favorite, but Rick Joyner has written a couple of The Final Quest and The Call.
Oh, you had to do that, did you?
I did, because, I mean, it impacted me. And
yeah, but
you've
moved beyond
that
now, haven't you?
No, I haven't moved on it. We're going to do a film on it.
Not we.
Me.
There you go.
Me.
Yeah, that book really bugged me.
What bugged you about it?
Which one? Which one are you talking about? I only read one of them. Which one did I read?
You read The Final Quest and you had issues with it.
I did.
And I'm not sure what they were.
And there were some good moments, too, so I'm not saying that there weren't.
There was some, I just think the whole bringing life front and center to the reality of the judgment seat of Christ and realizing that what we value here on earth and the way that culture and man tends to look at stuff versus heaven's value system and turning it on its ear, I thought that was absolutely marvelous. And if there's other things you didn't like about it, fine. But that alone,
I think it was
that alone worked for me in terms of the dynamic of just going like, man, what's remembered in heaven is not what makes up the newspaper on earth.
Okay.
And so there's my plug for it.
And I don't hate you for it. I mean, you have the right to be wrong once in a while. I have no problem with that. No, there were some things that just seemed a little bit self-aggrandizing that troubled
okay,
me, but it could be my own reaction to things.
Pass those.
I tend to be fairly reactive, so
yeah, you
that
do.
Could be it.
You do.
Oh, my goodness. Some of my formative years, some of the books back in the 70s, early 80s, when I was involved.
I didn't vapors, Wayne.
Yeah, you probably still. No. when I was back at that and in the systematized Christianity, struggling with it, struggling and not even hearing for a long time other voices that seem to affirm that struggle. It's just, everything's great. We can tweak it a little bit. And, man, I remember reading church books back in the 70s. Here's the way we're going to fix that thing. And we're still writing those books in the 2000s and still not fixed. But some of the books I really loved back then, and would encourage you, people can find copies of these to read. Robert Gerard's books, Brethren Hang Loose, Brethren Hang Together. It was a great shift of thinking outside the box and not just church being rituals to attend, but real community with brothers and sisters. And even though his whole way of doing that didn't work out the best, in fact, he wrote a book a few years later called When the Vision Vanishes. And I think this is one of the best books ever. A great dream, a dream never realized. And he goes back and does the forensics on that. Why it wasn't realized and where he's at with it today. And it's such a gut-rippingly honest book that I think if people ought to try and find it if they can. I looked for it the other day on the internet because I have a copy here, but I can't remember
who's the author.
Robert Gerard. And wow. Fabulous book. Howard Snyder's stuff back then. I loved Howard Snyder's Problem with Wineskins and, some other book about the kingdom, something of the kingdom, about church life. He really thought outside the box in some really big ways, even though he never lived this outside the box very long. I met him a number of years ago at a seminary. He was speaking. I went and heard him, and we talked a bit. And his own frustration of seeing these things from afar, wanting them, but never being near a group of folks that really wanted to do it. And he'd hunger so much for fellowship, he'd kind of slide back into a more systematized thing, even though he kind of lived outside of it in the midst of it. But a kind of a dream never realized. I kind of always felt, I don't know where he's now. Maybe he's found it now. I haven't engaged him in probably 10 years or so, so I don't know really where he's at today. But his books were so encouraging to me to say there were people taking seriously what Scripture says about church versus what men call church in our day. And I think he was one of those real confirming voices early on for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what? This is going to be a little bit out of the box for some people, but I read a book. Honestly, felt like the Lord directed me to it. It's called The Wisdom of Native Americans, and it was edited by a guy, Kent Nerburn. And it had nothing to do with, quote, Jesus. But a lot of the Indians and a lot of the writings that they had, they were folks and chiefs that ended up being converted. And it was hilarious the way they approached a lot of the missionaries. It says, we don't understand why you're always meeting inside buildings. And we don't understand. I mean, it's like a lot of the things that you and I would yeah. really take issue with,
yeah.
the Indians found as big inconsistencies. And they say, you know what? We're not so sure about this white man's religion, but this guy, Jesus, we're pretty sure he must be an Indian. That's one of the quotes. And it is just fantastic in terms of.
And by Indian, we mean Native Americans, right?
Native Americans. Okay. And what I really enjoyed was the whole dynamic of the way they sought to live life in harmony with what was going on, as opposed to this, conquest and sort of dominion thing where we're trying to change everything. It's like they sought to live in harmony with what was there and relate to God through just a myriad of ways. And, I'm sure some people will find issue with it, but man, when I read it.
Very New Agey here.
Yeah, but when I read it, I sort of read it through a lens of kind of, I don't know, a little parable dynamic of, God was showing me things that I really latched on and went, yeah, Lord, you are like that. And that system that is not working, the clash between, the culture that was sort of invading the Native American land. It's like, I don't know, God used that as an analogy for me. And
wow.
So, I realized that, a lot of times, the books that Christians recommended, it's like a lot of times all we recommend are things that are, quote, Christian books. And I've read some biographies about other people where you're just going like, wow, I'm fascinated by what worked in some people's lives and what motivated them. And when you do find out, there's this one guy, Crazy Horse, and one of the Indians. And the reality is this guy is like a Christ figure. And I have no idea what he actually believed, but, read through an analogy. I remember guys kind of looking at that life and like, man, that inspires me. And it makes me think about Jesus.
Wow.
And I just enjoyed some stuff like that.
Wow.
I do some stuff out of the box.
I don't mind that. One of the books that touched me the most, and I actually read it for the Bridge Builder work I do, it's the biography of Roger Williams called Liberty of Conscience. And, man, this guy was a Puritan of Puritans, but got kicked out of Puritan New England because he taught a couple of things. He taught that we were living on stolen land, and we needed to buy it from the Native Americans or give it back. That was one of the things. The other thing he taught was that we don't have the right to ask non-Puritans among us to live as if they're Puritans, that you can't legislate morality in the sense of making people subscribe to beliefs that they don't embrace. He called it the rape of the soul, actually.
Wow.
And it has shaped a lot of my thinking and the way Christ thought, especially about people. He invites people.
Yeah.
He doesn't force people. And
yeah.
that was a major book for me, as well as, you know, some of the others that cut, still Christian literature, but the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Lewis Narnia tales. Boy, back to the college days, I read just about every Lewis book ever written. And one of my favorites is Till We Have Faces, which is a whole Greek mythology thing, but exposes the way Christ does his work in us in a way that no other book I've read ever has. And so I've been a great fan of those books as well, and a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies when they were out.
Absolutely.
Recently.
Loved them.
Good stuff there.
You know, there's an author, Ellen Gunderson Traylor. She's written a bunch of, like, kind of novel biographies, stories, kind of stuff about some of the disciples. And I gotta tell you, in the whole spirit of trying to take things that are spiritual and make them practical and tangible and relationship-oriented, some of those have just, they've been very helpful because they take what is out there and bring it real close and into a story dynamic where you feel like, okay, I can relate to this person right there. I mean, that's why I love reading the Gospels and inserting myself as part of the crowd, where you're just going like, I'm gonna read this as if I'm there, and I'm gonna live it so that it's not just ink on paper and it's not something distant and ago, but it's something I can relate to. That's why, you know, Anne Rice's book, you know, Christ the Lord, I think it's got some tragic problems at the beginning. And it has a misunderstanding of, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus is in who he really is. But yet it makes him human and relatable in a way that I think will capture people, where you're just going like, wait a minute, he does know what I'm going through. He isn't just the sinless Son of God who's never had a day like mine. He really has gone through tough stuff and can relate to us, and I think she does a great job with that.
Wow, I keep waiting to borrow that book, but you're kind of bogged down.
Buy it on your own, buddy.
It's hardback. I don't buy hardback. I wait till somebody. I read a lot of books staying in people's homes.
Yeah,
and I see it on the shelf.
And
I'm there 3 or 4 days. I can get it read.
All right.
And in fact, someone was asking me today about a book, asked if I'd read it, and I said, no, I haven't, but I'll look for it in the next few homes I stay in, see if they've got it. I just can't keep buying books. The whole upstairs is going to collapse if I don't get rid of some of
yes,
the books in here.
Yes, I know. I have given up my passion for buying books.
You know, one of the books that inspired the Jake book that I did with a friend was
which is a good one, a must read.
What is that?
The Jake book.
Oh, well, I'm talking about a different book. When I was talking about doing that with a friend of mine, he said, have you read a book called The Goal? It's a business book. It has nothing to do with God at all. But it's about a guy who begins to question the way business, the accepted practices of doing business. And he meets an old college professor at an airport, kind of gets him thinking, and then they kind of intersect a few times over years, and it shapes his whole different way of doing business. This book has been huge in the business world, in fact, more probably 8-9 years ago than currently. But I read the book, and I tell you, I was just taken by the whole way of thinking outside the box. And we just go with the traditional mores about things, you really end up in these little whirlpools of irrelevance that just aren't worth it. And so that's a book that definitely is not a Christian book, but I was very much inspired by that to say, you know what, if that guy can get away with doing a business book like that, we can certainly give a shot at this Jake and John kind of deal and go from there. So,
you know, I think anything that sometimes challenges the perspective that you normally look through can just be a healthy exercise that just challenges your brain and your perspective. Because I think what's so exciting to me about the person of Jesus is who he was able to relate to so easily. folks that, frankly, were not like him.
Yeah.
And weren't like the religious crowd. And you're just going like, I doubt it was that books that Jesus read that enabled him to do that.
Yeah.
But I do know that anything that kind of challenges my sort of ingrained paradigm and causes me to sort of think outside of that context and do so with a desire to relate to those people.
Hmm.
And can I understand where they're coming from?
Yeah.
It would be extraordinary if the bulk of those who, you know, named Christ as their Lord, if they were able to really relate to the world who wasn't necessarily like them, but were able to do so where we heard them in their context, I think it'd be a lot less fighting.
Well, I think that's probably true.
So those kind of things are valuable.
Yeah. Have you read any Gail Irwin stuff?
I have not.
Servant style, Jesus style.
No, you mentioned that Jesus style one, but I've not seen it in any of the houses I have been, doing construction work in.
Okay, well, that's a different kind of theft than I do. But yeah, I think Gail Irwin's been, he's not only a close friend of mine, he's a wonderful friend of mine, but he's really written some stuff about Jesus' nature that is, and I said this to him before, I mean, he basically speaks in more traditional congregational environments, and I'm going, how do you do this? If people listen to what you said,
they throw you out.
If even 50% listen to what you said, it would empty the building. He goes, they don't listen. But it's just
cover.
He's a great way of communicating the true nature of Jesus that is totally against the grabbing of power and influence and all that kind of stuff, and how to live, love, and serve the way Jesus did. Powerful stuff.
That's great. You reading anything right now?
Yeah, I'm reading Don Miller. Sarah and I read Blue Like Jazz a couple years ago. She didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but I'm reading a second book now, Searching for God Knows What. And have you read any Miller's?
I tried Blue Like Jazz, but you know what? I wasn't really connecting with it, so I set it down.
I love just his kind of ruminating on things. He's got a wonderful sense of humor as he writes about things, and I think he really kind of turns things on their head, and particularly the religious way of thinking about things. I know he's a bit of a system guy in some ways, but I think his irreverence for religion and his desire to look for something real and authentic and to be honest with his struggles. His first book, Blue Like Jazzy, talks about learning community, which I think the title of the chapter was Community Living with Freaks or something like that. And he actually learned real community, not in a religious environment. He learned it with a bunch of drugged out hippies, but the level of authenticity and acceptance and sharing was more real in that setting than he'd ever seen among religious folks.
Huh.
And so it was a real eye-opening thing to him. I'm enjoying, now I don't read Sarah the whole book on Searching for God Knows What, but when I find a really good clip, I give it to her. He has one chapter here about Shirley MacLaine, I guess, in some movie squeaking out, or some lecture sheet or something, squeaking out, I am God, I am God, I am God. And I guess Frank Peretti did that in a speech one time. He got up and he says, I wonder what that must have sounded like to God. Shirley MacLaine yelling, I'm good. This pathetic little voice. And he kind of talks about people who don't understand God from that side of it. And then he offers this interesting perspective. He says, I say all of this because the other side of what Shirley MacLaine was doing on that beach isn't funny. From God's perspective, looking down at the squeaky voice going off about how she is God is pretty funny. But on the other side, the side that knows how very large God is, how he has no end, gives me a start something terrible. And I wonder what it sounded like to God when Jerry Falwell went on television and said the reason the Twin Towers were hit by those planes was because there were homosexuals in the building. I wonder what kind of annoying squeak that was in God's ear. I don't think a person who makes statements like that fears God. I don't think people like this respect God when he says to love your brother, love your enemy, turn the other cheek, and don't judge lest you be judged. Be patient, be kind, hold your tongue, and give every effort to keep the bonds of peace. Sometimes, honestly, I feel that squeaky wheel Christian leadership can be as wrong about God as Shirley MacLaine. I don't think they actually fear him or think he means what he says. That's a pretty good shot. So, I mean, I enjoy it. I find myself laughing out loud.
That's great.
Pick up a little of that stuff. So, you reading anything currently?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm actually watching more World Cup soccer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
After a long day, I'm tired. I like to be red, too, right now.
Okay.
So I'm not reading a whole lot. So thanks for just reading
that. Show me read you another clip.
That was very nice.
World Cup soccer. My gosh.
Oh, yeah, we're soccer fanatics, our family. And, we have absolutely enjoyed it. And I know you don't even understand the game, so you don't need to comment.
No, don't get me wrong. I understand it. That's my son and I are watching something on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, don't even go there.
Oh, it was fabulous.
Right. Sacrilege.
They broke in with a news break about Italy and Croatia fighting to a 0-0 tie. And my son just looks at me and he says, now, wouldn't you feel like you just wasted 3 hours? Absolutely, man. I tell you what, you got to make a bigger net.
Watching golf, like, that's exciting.
Well, I got to tell you, I think it was. That's sad.
All right, different strokes for different folks.
And I think that probably is a good sum up on the whole book thing, too, because I think that's really different strokes for different folks. I tell you, I have enjoyed, I mean, I'm a reader, I'm an avid reader, and I have really enjoyed being able to live and look over other people's shoulders as they've struggled through their journey. The books that I think mean the most to me are people that are honest
and sharing that journey.
Yeah. I'm reading a book now that's not published yet. It's not The Shack, but I'm reviewing it for a friend. And it's just honest when his own struggles. It's called Divine Nobodies. Word's putting it out sometime next, I think this winter coming up, maybe this fall. But I like the way, again, it's very authentic. There's a little bit of humor in it. He's been through a really rough road, and he's not dishonest about it. He's not dishonest about his struggle and the things God's making clear to him. And I think that's what captures my heart more than anything. I love a good story. I love something that takes you into somebody's experience. And I love things that illuminate God, that when I read it, you go, my goodness, that's the God I know right there.
Yep.
And I've got a whole shelf full of other books to read. I've got a lot of things people send me, and I seem to never will get caught up in this age, I don't think.
That's okay. Have a good vacation.
Wow. I guess we're done. There's no more books to talk about.
No,
we've covered every good thing.
I'm tired just thinking about all those books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't want to read. And we haven't got into all the stuff you read on the internet and all the podcasts and all the things.
I'm just going to go hang out with Jesus.
You're just going
to go hang out with Jesus. If he wants to read to me, that's fine.
You sick, sick man.
No, I'm just different.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.